We forget how much the country has changed, and not for the better, in the last 17 months. When I take you back to June 2020, when Congressman John Lewis lay in his deathbed, and he pleaded with the rioters who had taken over many of our streets, and he said, civil rights icon, let's not forget, he said, I hear you, I see you, but rioting and looting and burning is not the way to go. It was to no avail. Within a few weeks and months, vandals had caused between $1 and $2 billion in damage. It was the costliest U.S. disturbance in U.S. history. But we lost a lot more than property. We allowed the Black Lives Matter organizations to take over our imagination, a national imagination. They preyed upon our best intentions on their bid to change our way of life. They knew that we had justifiable anger that was felt by many after watching that horrible video of the death of George Floyd and our sense of fairness. Many Americans, people in my family, wanted to express their solidarity then with their black compatriots. You know, I like Black Lives Matter myself. I use that term all the time. I don't have to say, and I don't say, all lives matter. All lives do matter. I do know that. All 7 billion of us matter. But I think I go back to what my friend Josh said about collective responsibility. I think blacks have suffered uniquely and exceptionally, so much so that I don't even have to explain it. And it's important to affirm that Black Lives Matter. In fact, when it comes to Black Lives Matter, I break it into its components. There's the concept, which, as I just said, is unimpeachable. And then there's the movement, which I grapple with. I'm a simple guy. I don't know what a movement is. I guess it means the demonstrators, my neighbors who pitch signs on their lawns. And they have a variety of motivations for their behavior. Let's not ignore that. A lot of them are virtue signaling. A lot of the others, though, are having their justifiable anger manipulated. Manipulated by whom? By the other two components, the Black Lives Matter organizations and the leaders and followers. I wrote my book, Black BLM, The Making of a New Marxist Revolution, about the leaders of the organizations and their organizations, and I go across the country talking about this. So why do I do that? Because I am convinced that if I bring this message to enough Americans, if they understand the dangerous reality behind these organizations, what they want to do, they will reconsider their hallmark little signs and maybe even pull them out of their yards. The reason for that is that what I explain is that they have explicitly told us that they seek to destroy the very fabric that makes this country a country of opportunity for all. Let me be clear. They want to end the means by which we, all of us, black, white, purple, green, can improve our lives. They want to end the family. They want to end the free market system. And they want to end the justice system, which protects all of us. And if we do not stop and rethink our embrace of Black Lives Matter, not you in this room, but nationally, our lives will change even more than they already have, and not for the better. Our ability to live freely, to speak openly about the things we care about, and to benefit from our labor will diminish. That's the reason I wrote my book, to shine this spotlight on these matters, which the media has shut off. The media has shut off that spotlight. The media talks to you, talks to all of us, only about the beautiful concept and about the movement, but they don't really ever delve into the organizations, let alone the leaders and the things the leaders say they want to do. But when you Google Black Lives Matter, that modern-day Library of Alexandria, that digital repository of all human knowledge, does not take you to a beautiful concept. It does not take you to my neighbor's lawn. It takes you to a concrete place, the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation. That is an institution. It's an organization. Let me tell you about BLM-GNF. It's the main BLM organization. It is a well-funded institution that is devoted, deeply devoted, to ending the American experiment today, right now. It was founded and co-led by Alicia Garza, who was trained from an early age in the School of Unity and Liberation, SOUL. That's a Marxist preparatory founded by followers of Antonio Gramsci, Antonio Gramsci is the founder of the Italy's Communist Party, but more important than that, Antonio Gramsci is a very important philosopher in the second half of the 20th century and in the first two decades of the century. It was at Seoul that Alicia Garcia studied how, in her own words, and I'll here I will quote her, how social movements all over the world have used Marx and Lenin as a foundation to interrupt these systems that are really negatively impacting the majority of people. Among these systems that she thinks are negatively impacting people is capitalism, which she hates. She says it's racist, and she says furthermore that black lives will never matter as long as we have capitalism. Well before George Zimmerman was acquitted for the killing of Trayvon Martin on the day of July 13, 2013, the day supposedly when the group was created, she was already enmeshed for years in a beehive of Marxist and socialist organizations that was global. It was the National Domestic Workers Alliance, one of the cogs in this huge network that sent her to Ferguson to organize. According to Garza, quote, "We all have work to do to keep dismantling the organizing principle of this society." This is not a debate about the marginal tax rate. This is about dismantling the organizing principle of society. You know, the Girl Scout troop, the Little League. Then there's Patrice Cullors. That's Alicia Garza. Patrice Cullors was recruited at the age of 17 by Eric Mann. Recruited is the word he uses, by the way, in his book, Playbook for Radicals. He says he recruited Alicia Garza into his Labor Community Strategy Center in Los Angeles. Mann, by the way, is a former member of the Weather Underground, identified by the FBI as a terrorist organization. He spent 18 months in prison for assault and battery. And he says the purpose of his center is, quote, "to take this country away from the white settler state," Jason talked about, "take this country away from imperialism, and really have an anti-racist, anti-imperialist, and anti-fascist revolution." So Patrice Cullors is not lying when she says she's a trained Marxist. She was a trained Marxist trained by Eric Mann. And by the way, she says she does not use the word communist because the word communism has gotten a bad rap. Yeah, it has. when you are at fault for millions of murders and nothing but poverty, I guess you get a bad reputation. Opal Tometi, the third of our trio of founders, she's the most internationalist of the three. Among her pet projects is to go to Venezuela, support Nicolas Maduro. She wrote a manifesto praising his Bolivarian revolution. Not many people praise Venezuela's Bolivarian revolution now. It's kind of passe. But she actually even goes further than that, and she says their participatory democracy is the thing to follow. That's a sham that failed in Bulgaria, the Soviet Union, and it's failing the Venezuelan people today. It was these three who built from scratch, after Zimmerman's acquittal, BLM. Put a hashtag on it, build the social media around it, and then their socialist network promoted it around the world. It was them, it was Alicia Garza especially, that went to Ferguson to bring communist groups from around the country to organize. And it is its willingness to use violence and its avowed disregard for the damage it causes is one more way in which we understand its Marxist origins, because if you read Marx, not only does he think that violence is necessary, he thinks it's a requirement. The bourgeoisie must be violently overthrown. BLM has a lot of money to do this. It's got millions and millions of dollars in the bank. Last year alone, it raised $100 million. It has a curriculum to send to the country's 14,000 school districts. It has a bill in Congress. It supports other bills. It endorses candidates and opposes candidates. It's even got a foreign policy. It is virulently as anti-Israel, even when Israel is fighting Hamas, another terrorist organization. There's a theme building here. And at the precise moment when Cuban communists were rounding up dissidents after the July demonstrations, beating them up, torturing them, putting them in dungeons, Black Lives Matter issued a statement on Cuba, supporting the communists, not the dissidents. We need to understand what is fueling this takeoff. It is money that plain old America's gift, but a lot of foundations and corporations give this money. And when you give money to Black Lives Matter, you're not giving it to a beautiful concept, and you're not giving it to help social justice. You give it to organizations that, as I have described, have a programmatic approach that will seek everyone. Now one person will be lifted out of poverty if we abolish the family, which is what they wanted to do until Andy Olivastro and I wrote an op-ed in Sohrab Ahmari's New York Post talking about it, and then like good Stalinists, they airbrushed their website, you know, to hide the fact that they want to abolish the family. That article on the Heritage site alone had a million reads. And no one will be lifted by their approach to incarceration or the justice system. They want to get rid not just of police funding, they want to get rid of the courts in the prison system. No society can survive like this, and they know it. It isn't just a concept, it isn't rainbows and puppies, it is all of this in their agenda. Some say, well, you know, Black Lives Matter did open up an important conversation on the racial disparities. First of all, no. We have been having that conversation for a long time, and we should welcome that conversation. It is important to have it, and we should have, but none of their remedies, none of their policy remedies will help fix these disparities. The truth is, as Derek said, America is not perfect. You know, yeah, of course we can, no place on earth is gonna be perfect, by the way. There's no utopia on this earth. Utopia, the Greek roots of utopia, is no place. But we can always work towards improvement, and when we have worked towards our ideals, when we have tried to live up our ideals of all men are created equal, is when we have had our most beautiful chapters in our history. The truth is that the real champions of black lives have never gone for these policies. Marcus Garvey in the 1920s, and there were many things kind of weird about Marcus Garvey, but he was steadfast in his defense of capitalism. Why? Because he thought capitalism was going to add the escalator, the ladder that black men and women were going to need to fix their lives. And in the 1940s and 50s, the NAACP fought valiantly against Soviet infiltration of black communities. By the way, blacks never bought the Soviet stuff. All they wanted to do was be accepted as regular Americans, to have their right place in society, but they never went for the Soviet stuff. We are again at this juncture in history, like many people before us have been. And this, that's kind of scary, but it's also a rare opportunity. And I think the reason we're here, the reason this conference is such a success, and by the way, I want to thank Yoram, he's not here, and Chris DeMuth are doing a great job, is because we understand we're at this juncture in history, and as I said, we'll find out in Virginia tonight if we have yet begun to fight. But we're all going to have that moment in our deathbed like John Lewis had, and ask ourselves, what did we do? Are we going to ignore what Black Lives Matter say, what they say about themselves, because it's awkward to talk about race? I know it's awkward to talk about race. Trust me, I do it on the radio and TV 24/7. I wrote my book because I thought I needed to write it, not because I had any desire to write it, just because I thought it was my responsibility to write it, because I understood it very clearly, and I needed to write it down. I guess our challenge to all of us is, what are we going to do? I really want to thank you for coming here and listening to me. Thank you.